Kansas City. When it comes to the four elements of earth, fire, water, and wind, some among us think we can control that energy. There are others who think we are simply at the mercy of the elements. In other words, there are those who say we can save the planet, and there are those who know we're really saving ourselves, as the planet has been around a lot longer than us. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabulani LaFall. Joining us now to discuss the topic of local environmental conservation efforts are our guests for today, Kristen Rio of Bridging the Gap and Kate Corwin, president of GreenWorks. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Kate, tell us about GreenWorks.
I would love to. GreenWorks is an environmental justice nonprofit. We were started 5 years ago, and the point was to get urban youth involved in environmental work, specifically around in Kansas City's environmental issues, and then educate them about what was going on in the environment, and then also provide them with workforce development opportunities through paid summer internships with environmental organizations and businesses. So each summer we have students who work for the EPA, Habitat Restore, Missouri Department of Conservation, organizations like that.
And Kristen, what is Bridging the Gap's role in local conservation efforts?
Well, Bridging the Gap has been around for 20 years, and we have at any given time 9 or 10 different environmental programs ranging from recycling to tree planting to wildlands protection. We have a couple of business programs that help businesses share their green practices. And this year we have a special water conservation program that I know you're going to be asking me about.
Yeah, Waterworks. We'll definitely get to that within the course of this conversation. What are Kansas City's particular environmental challenges? We have a sewer project that runs to the tune of $3 billion. We have a status of EPA designation that is close to violating the clean air standards, and obviously a very rough, to say the least, transition to mass transit and biking and walking, and also weatherization and declining urban forests. That's a lot of issues.
It is a lot of issues.
How do you tackle this issue, or how do you do it?
I'd like to say that I think the ultimate cause of a lot of our issues here in Kansas City is sprawl. We actually have a very large city footprint for the population that we have. So as people moved out to the suburbs, there's more and more driving back into the city. The city has to maintain a very large infrastructure over a large geographical area with a small tax and citizen base. And because we drive a lot, we drive more than the average city per capita, we end up having air quality problems, among other things.
And we have a lot of miles of highway as well.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And I should mention that EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency standards, as far as that air quality is sort of a big issue around here. We had a lot of ozone alert days this summer.
We did. Yeah, and we're having more and more of those.
What about weatherization and green energy as we get into the winter?
Well, weatherization, Kristen could talk about this. Weatherization is incredibly important, and we can make a huge impact, especially for all of us, but for lower-income residents in Kansas City, it can be a huge savings for them to weatherize their homes. And our homes all need to be weatherized. None of them were built to be energy efficient.
Yeah.
We talked about sort of the unique characteristics of our driving landscape and our sprawl. Where does Kansas City sit in the regional or national efforts of energy conservation? Do you model after other cities? Do you look at what other cities are doing? Do you look at the total landscape? Where does Kansas City sit in all of that, or stand?
Well, this year we're helping to lead the nation, actually, with the U.S. Department of Energy. The city of KCMO received a $20 million grant from the DOE this year that is targeted for energy efficiency in our homes. And they are working like squirrels at Energy Works KC to weatherize 2,000 homes in the Kansas City, Missouri area. So we're actually, I think, on the leading edge this year in home weatherization efforts.
Kate, tell us about the efforts of the Green Impact Zone, what it is, first of all, and how your two organizations, Kate and Kristen, are involved.
Okay. Well, the Green Impact Zone was an idea that was started by Congressman Cleaver. And when we found out that Kansas City would be getting some stimulus dollars, his idea was to target the vast majority of those dollars into a particular area of the urban core. And so they chose an area, and the stimulus dollars are coming in for things like sidewalk repairs And weatherization, also
retrofitting things of that nature.
Right, improvements to mass transit. So I believe that the MAX that's going down Troost, a lot of those improvements were paid for through that. Our students, we're involved with the Green Impact Zone really primarily just because our students actually, most of them come from the Green Impact Zone. So they are benefiting from a lot of the work that's going on in the Green Impact Zone. Our program, by the way, I need to mention, is held at the Brush Creek Community Center, which is actually the center that is closest to the Green Impact Zone and serves people in the zone.
And that brings us right to our next question. Talk about the role of service learning for children and teens. Tell us what service learning is and how you apply that.
Okay. Service learning basically means that you get students involved in projects that actually do make a difference. So when our students are involved in projects, we plant rain gardens, and we plant native plants, and we plant trees. And they are permanent installations. They are in places that are high visibility. We want the students to be able to drive, you know, go by in years from now and see what they have done. And the point is to help the students understand that they actually can get involved. So service learning is a wonderful tool. Another component of it is to have the students write about what they've experienced from the project, and that's an important part too. So that's self-reflection. There's a lot of good data that shows that service learning for the population that we're working with actually decreases dropout rates. So it's an incredibly important part of our program.
Kristen, you and Kate recently did a talk where you focused your efforts as it pertains to the environment on the role of women in sustainability and environmental conservation. What was that talk about? What was the nature of that talk? And what should we know about the special role of women in this?
Well, Kate and I both believe that women are really an under-leveraged resource in terms of progress on the environment, because they're often the decision makers in their households, or they lead a lot of household decision making, including what kind of house they're going to buy, how big that house is going to be, where the kids are going to go to school, how far the family's going to live from the workplace, and very importantly, what's put on the table every night for dinner, which ends up actually having a big impact on the environment. So when we talked to the women last Friday together, we were talking about things like serving your family meals that are lower on the food chain, because animal proteins, for example, tend to be very resource-intensive, and the more resource-intensive the larger the size of the animal whose flesh you're eating. So starting with cows, it's very resource intensive to grow a pound of beef. It takes 15 pounds of grain and 15,000 pounds of water. Pork's half fat, poultry's half of pork, and you go on down to the really small proteins, and it's much more efficient.
During the question and answer period, or the interaction with the women in the community when you gave this talk, what were some of the surprising retorts, or what was the crux of the conversation?
Well, oftentimes people just say, I've never thought of that before. In fact, when I was telling your producer about this, she said, I've never thought of that before, that actually everything that we buy or that we eat in a household represents embodied natural resources and energy.
Right. You had something to add, Kate?
Well, I was also going to say that we did talk. Kristen had a great slide on population growth, and we are at 7 billion now, over 7 billion in the world.
In Kansas City?
Yeah. We're not quite that large. We wish we were. Then we'd have a really good tax base. Yeah, we would.
Right.
We could get all kinds of tree plantings done. Yeah, absolutely. So 7 billion worldwide, and projected to hit 9 billion. And that's really driving – it's a huge driver of our environmental issues. And women, educating women – historically shows that the higher the education, the more they manage the number of children that they have. So we can manage population growth by educating women. So Kristen and I, obviously, and being female, we are very pro educating women.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We're talking about local conservation initiatives and local conservation issues with our guest today, Kristen Rio, Bridging the Gap, and Kate Corwin, President of Greenworks. Rio, did I say that right?
It's Riot, but hardly Riot. Anybody
Kristen
gets it right.
Riot, Bridging the Gap.
Yeah,
I'm going to bridge
you.
The gap to your name. And Kate Corwin, President of Greenworks, are our guest today. Why is energy efficiency so important? You hear about that all the time. What's your take on why it's so vital, and how high are the stakes?
Well, The stakes are very high. Kate and I both are very, very concerned on a daily basis about climate change and all of the ramifications of it. But even if you move beyond climate change, first of all, there's a lot of waste in this country. Everybody can save money by becoming more energy efficient. And our country itself can save money by becoming more energy efficient. Not too long ago, I heard Jim Woolsey, who was in one of the Bush administrations, talking about how not since the Civil War have we funded both sides of a conflict. We send all of our money over to the Middle East to buy oil, and then we also send our soldiers over there to fight wars. But on a personal basis, you can save anywhere from $200 with one of our water kits that has a low-flow showerhead and faucet aerators and so on. $200 a year in low-income households is very significant. You can save thousands of dollars if your home is weather tight. So saving money is a big one. In Kansas City also, as you mentioned earlier, Jabalani, we're always flirting with air quality issues, with EPA compliance. Energy efficiency produces cleaner air because we get a lot of our energy from coal-fired power plants that pollution is spewed into our atmosphere. And there are a lot of human diseases that are correlated with air quality issues. So it's a win-win to be energy efficient.
Let's move on, if we could, to the next environmental albatross around our neck, water. Water usage, water shortage. Talk about that in the context of waterworks.
Well, water is going to be one of the defining issues of this century, fresh water as a resource. We're lucky here in Kansas City that we have a plentiful supply from our rivers, but still, water is very energy intensive to heat in your home, to clean, to pump, and send all around the city. I believe the number one user of electricity in the city is the Kansas City, Missouri Water Services Department. So water is a way that we can all be more energy efficient. I'll give you an example of gross energy inefficiency with water. If you have a teenager in your household, they're likely to shower for 45 minutes on average.
Wow.
Yeah. And they stand in the shower with their phone in a baggie and text their friends. So water is one area where we're very lavish with the use of it. And there are simple things you can do. You can go to the hardware store and get a low-flow shower head. It can save you 6,000 to 8,000 gallons a year. If you've got an old toilet, go to kcenergyworks.org, or actually waterworks.org for the toilet. And we can help you get a new water-thrifty toilet. There are just many small things that you can do. Use your dishwasher instead of standing there letting the water run at the kitchen sink and washing your dishes by hand. A lot more water efficient.
What do we know about the link between power and water as far as energy conservation is concerned locally?
How big is it?
Do we know what the correlation on water usage, where it's concerned with energy? I know a lot of electric power plants use hydro-powered electric.
Well, yes. Coal-fired power plants in general are very water intensive. They use a lot of water. So do a lot of local manufacturers use a lot of water, which is one reason that Bridging the Gap works with in our Environmental Excellence Business Network. We help each other learn about how to be more thrifty with water and other resources.
You have an event at the Plaza branch of the Kansas City Public Library tonight titled The Future of Energy and Creating a Sustainable Community. What will be the gist of that conversation?
Well, I think it's really just to give the community an overall glimpse of some of the major work that's being done around the environment. So Kristen will be there. There will be a representative from KCPNL, Metropolitan Energy Center.
Ripple Glass will be there,
and Ripple Glass. And then am I forgetting someone else?
I am too, so.
Right. So okay. And one other very important individual will be there to talk as well. But there will be some question and answer time at the end. So we're hoping to get a lot of people there to learn about all the good things that we are doing, all the things that are going on.
I know my yoga teacher told me she's coming because she's hoping to get energy efficiency tips. So they will abound tonight at the Plaza Library.
And be some stretching there as well.
Absolutely.
What would you say is the number one issue in Kansas City for environmental conservation? If you had to identify one, if you were given a grant or given a mandate to push forth conservation issues here locally, what would you say is the most pertinent issue?
Well, I would say the most pertinent issue all over the world is climate change, including here in Kansas City. But what specifically I'm most concerned about here is the decline of our tree canopy, which is very, very important in managing climate change. Our tree canopy is old to begin with. It's storm battered. And now it's under new assault from these terribly hot and dry summers, and also from the emerald ash borer, which is a new guest in our city that's going to attack our ash trees.
An invasive species that we talk about a lot on our Nature in the City edition here on Central Standard as being a major local environmental factor.
Yes.
As well.
5 years ago, our city forester said that we needed to plant 120,000 trees in the city just to get back to where we needed to be. And we've lost a lot of trees since then and since the drought. And our city's had to cut back on tree planting efforts. And trees not only clean our air, but they also clean our water. I'm actually personally extremely concerned about water quality as well.
Our guests for today are Kristen Riott,
Bridging the Gap,
and Kate Corwin, of president of Greenworks. We've been talking about local conservation initiatives here in Kansas City, and what we've identified is tackling deforestation as one of the large problems that we need to tackle here in Kansas City. Both Kristen Riott and Kate Corwin are appearing at an event tonight at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Public Library at 6:30 p.m. The title of the talk is The Future of Energy and Creating a Sustainable Community. Thank you both for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Javelani.
And we're going to take a quick break. When we return, our guest author talks about his new book on sports legend and Kansas City civic icon, Lamar Hunt.